Good morning and welcome to the Albany Report. I'm your host, former State Senator Cecilia Kacik. And with me on the show are two candidates who are running for Greene County Legislature, Joe Kozlowski. And you are currently on the Greene County Legislature. What areas do you represent?
I represent the town and village of Catskill. It's district number one for the Greene County Legislature.
Awesome. And how long have you been on the legislature?
I'm in my third year presently, and I'm up for re-election on November 3rd.
And how many members are on the legislature for Greene County?
There are 14 members in the Greene County Legislature, and all of us are up for re-election this November 3rd.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what's your term? How long is your term?
The term is for 3 years.
So every 3 years, you're all up for re-election?
Yes, in their infinite wisdom to begin with. I don't know why they didn't have it one-third, one-third, and one-third every year, but we are all up for re-election this November.
Okay, and so, Aiden, you're representing a different district. You're representing what area?
So I'm out in the Durham area, and that's district number 9. It's a small community. It's 50 square miles, just shy of 50 square miles. It has about 2,700 residents. And this will be my first time running for public office.
Awesome.
I'm very excited.
So tell us a little bit about your background and then why you're running.
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in the Bronx. I moved up here when I was about 10 years old to the town of Greenville, which borders the town of Durham. As a graduate of the town of Greenville, I was looking for something to do to help my community. And that was kind of stepstoned me into EMS. I started volunteering as a local EMT. I went out to SUNY Cobleskill to become a paramedic. I was the youngest of my class to test. And from there, I've had amazing opportunities within Greene County in EMS to work as a paramedic. I've worked in Lexington, which was a very catchy tune.
I can't get that tune out of my head now.
If I ever need a campaign song, I know where to go. You know, from there, from being paramedic, I started off early. I was elected chairman of the local EMS council. I was so young, I actually had to look it up in the dictionary and figure out what chairman was. I was equally excited and nervous. And from there, I became the EMS coordinator and appointed by the county legislature, which prompted me amazing opportunities. And from there, I'm now currently president of Greene County Paramedics, a not-for-profit organization. It runs off about $1.5 million a year, 30 employees. And I work as a critical care flight paramedic. And I think all of those combined, looking for an avenue to help as many people as possible, I got into looking at what politics can do for me and if that could be an avenue to help as many people as possible. And no matter if you want big government or small government, it's in your life, no matter what. So if I could do good with it, I'm going to try.
That's awesome. We also need smart government. And I know one of the challenges that Greene County faces is the challenges in healthcare. I think Greene County is typically ranked near the bottom or often last in, you know, how healthy the county is compared to other counties. Do you see that in your work as a paramedic?
Yeah, I would say the last health ranking that I've seen on a county basis, we were ranked 60 out of 62. So not as close to broadband at 62 out of 62, but pretty close. And seeing it EMS, the reason I think I take such pride in EMS and I see it in my home community is because the pre-hospital setting of EMS takes place of not having a hospital. So when you're in Lexington, an hour and a half from a major hospital or a local hospital, 45 minutes thereof, I think it plays a vital role in it.
Right. And so the paramedics who are first on the scene are really vital and
absolutely
important healthcare providers. You're not just transporting people. You're providing on the ground.
Absolutely. Even more so than
emergency healthcare assistance. Yeah, that's a really good point. What would you like to see done differently or changed at the county level if you became a legislature? What committees, what kind of work would you like to focus in on?
I've had the great honor to co-chair, actually, the Greene County Countywide Ambulance Task Force, and Joe is a member. The county legislature took a proactive approach to EMS. They said, you know, we've never had a study of what is EMS in Greene County working right now and what can it do to be better. And that also encompasses the cost of that for the taxpayers. So ultimately, somehow the taxpayers are paying, but can we enhance the service and also improve that public health outreach at the same time? And that's been about 2 years. And I co-chair that with actually the county legislator who's representing District 9 right now, Patty Handel. I have big shoes to fill. And it's been an amazing opportunity. So as county legislator, I would support anything that would improve both EMS but also public health while having cost savings to the taxpayers or equal cost savings to taxpayers.
And I know that when I was the senator for this district, one of the issues that we got involved with was accidents at Catterskill Falls.
Yeah.
And communications and the ability to communicate in the park area was a real hurdle. Have things improved on the communications level in dealing with those types of issues?
Yeah, I would say communication during Irene. I was EMS coordinator at the time, and we did 12-hour shifts in the emergency control center. And one of the biggest things that we recognized right off the bat was lack of communication, especially with the mountaintop in the valley. Since then, a tower has gone up in Windham, which the county legislators funded. And Catterskill Falls, I'd say now with the state DEC, they're revamping it. They're putting in steps, stairwells and banners and et cetera, et cetera. I think it has improved from there. But unfortunately, we've had some incidents up in the mountain this year already, but not like other years. So hopefully it's improving. And I think that no matter what, we have to continue to improve.
Right.
In such a geographically unique location with mountains and valleys, communication is always going to be an issue. So
right.
We should keep on top of that.
The challenges are certainly there. And you want people to come and enjoy the area and be safe. And you also don't want to, you know, put your own residents who are trying to provide services, you know, emergency health services at risk to go in and rescue people either. So Joe, what committees are you on the legislature? And can you talk to us about some of the things that you've been involved with the county legislature that you'd like to share?
Well, first of all, some of the committees that I'm on is the county services, the health services, the public safety, and the public works. As Aiden said, I've been on the committee with him for the ambulance services to have better ambulance service for all of Greene County, not just a certain areas. And also, for the last year or so, I've been on the jail task force committee.
And what's happening with the jail? What's the issue on that? I mean, is that something that is continuing to need resolution?
Well, as of right now, we asked the state to give us some land in Coxsackie. There's a bill on the governor's desk at this point in time to give Greene County, I think it's for $1, 50-some plus acres next to the Coxsackie Correctional Facility for us to put a facility up. Right now, our facility could hold 58 inmates, but we're only allowed 40-some because we're only allowed 40% occupancy. Or, I'm sorry, 80% occupancy out of the entirety. So Commissioner of Corrections has said that we need to look for a new facility.
So, mm-hmm. So you're being forced to build a new facility? Or
they haven't actually forced us to, but there's two people from the Commissioner of Corrections at every one of our meetings to make sure we are moving forward. So
okay, so that's certainly an issue that the legislature has to deal with going forward.
Yes, when I ran for the county legislator back in 2003, it was one of my platforms. I said we needed a new jail back then, and I've been on the task force, and we're moving towards that entity now.
What other issues do you see are vital to the county legislature that you'd like to continue to work on, or that are very important to the residents that you hear about from residents?
Well, like Aiden said, I'm on the task force for the ambulance services with him. I'd like to see that come to fruition for countywide ambulance services. Not necessarily county employees running the ambulances, but maybe a separate entity itself. Because right now you have some outlining areas where to get an ambulance to your house may take 15, 20, 22 minutes. And it may seem a lot longer than that. I mean, even in the village of Catskill here, most of the time we're waiting 3-4 minutes, and it seems like it's forever to get somebody there to get help.
Yeah, so since we don't have a hospital in Greene County, where do most people end up going if they have to be transported to a hospital? they're going to Albany or they're going to Kingston?
Albany, St. Peter's. They're coming to Columbia Memorial. You know, we do have emergent cares in the village of Catskill. You have one now in Caro. You have one in Coxsackie. They do some of the triage, I should say, before they're sent out. But, you know, most of the time you have to go to a larger facility to get cares.
And what are you hearing from the residents? Is this an issue that they're concerned about?
I would say from EMS standpoint, you don't know about it until you need it.
Right.
So I think until you call 911, the experience of, you know, like Joe had mentioned, waiting only 5 minutes, if you're holding your breath for 5 minutes, it obviously feels like a much longer time. But EMS-wise, from the providers themselves, it's in between at the moment. I'd say it's on the fence of whether or not people would endorse it or people oppose it.
And you're both, I assume, out on the campaign trail knocking on doors and meeting voters and talking to them. What are they telling you? What are they saying about Greene County and what they'd like to see improve or change for the better? What are you hearing from the voters about?
I would say this is my first time knocking on doors.
Yeah, that's right. You're a newbie.
Brand
to this
new.
Process.
Yep. So the last time I was actually knocking on doors was for your campaign, your reelection, and that was a great introduction because I think anyone who's interested in politics. To see how much time and energy and what, you know, would require you to run, it's a great opportunity to go and do that, especially when you go to the Crossroads Brewery afterwards and have a drink. So knocking on doors, biggest experience so far in my life that I've had. I knocked on over 80 doors. I've had everything from holy water on my head. I've been kicked off thinking that I was electing Hillary Clinton. but the biggest thing was the opportunity for those who wanted to sit down and have a cup of tea and share in their concerns. And the biggest thing that I would say is bringing Greene County to a modern era. They want to continue to have the beauty that it has, whether it's hiking at Catoosa Falls or swimming in the Hudson River, but they also want it to be modern. They want broadband. They want EMS. A lot of them are residents that have moved around from Long Island, New Jersey, et cetera, and they still want that modern EMS system if they don't have a hospital. We talked about the jail a little bit. I think that's another concern that people have because it's money. It's going to cost them money. But I think that's something that, you know, it's housekeeping per se, where you have to uplift and continue to have infrastructure. And that is part of infrastructure. There's always going to be bad people, just like there's always going to be sick people. But, you know, on top of that, I'd say small business is a big concern. From my point of view, from generational, one of the reasons I'm running is I am younger and everyone's moving. It's not because they want to move away from their families, not because they don't love the communities and swimming in the creeks and going to their favorite cafe. It's because there's no jobs. And even if there were jobs, what do you do recreational? So that's probably the other big point that I've been hearing and trying to figure out what I could do if on November 3rd I was elected to improve that.
And what are you hearing about the connection to broadband service? I mean, we did talk a little bit about it in my summary, and you know, Lexington folks had a rally. Are people, you know, saying well, one of the things that I heard when I was representing this area is businesses wouldn't expand, people don't want to move to areas that don't have access to high-speed internet broadband. And I'm assuming you're hearing that from the residents who are
absolutely. To me, it's insane. And that's what I've been hearing is insanity when it comes to broadband. We're in the 21st century. We live in New York State, the Empire State, and we're an hour away from the Capitol. And yet, whether you want to, you know, have a Netflix account and watch movies all day, or if you want to expand your business or realtors have, I think Amazon has proven that we are also turning into a business of websites. So if you could sell something in store or on website, it might compensate for the lack of customers coming in and out of a door. So I think at this point it's starting to reach a point where people are getting frustrated.
Yeah, you can't do business really without having internet access because you've got to buy supplies, you've got to even mail and ship. You can do on the internet, and I would think because of the lack of critical care facilities here in Greene County, that people who are medically fragile or concerned about getting access to medical care would benefit if they had internet access or, you know, high speed so that they could do some monitoring
Absolutely.
With local doctors' offices so they could tell when you're maybe needing to get medical care before there's a crisis.
Great point. Telemedicine.
Yes.
Yep. There's people actually that I knocked on doors and they were showing me that they have a whole setup next to their TV where your blood pressure, your weight, you have a webcam that could talk to a physician, but that's only possible if you have the internet access to get to there. And then the same turn too, college student, one person I knocked on the door was very frustrated because they spent most of their money at Panera Bread in Kingston or Albany because they were trying to do certain papers or webcams for school and they couldn't do it in the area that we live in, which is a shame. Another thing that would either drive people out or not welcome people in. So
Joe, can you talk to us about what's happening on the county level with rural broadband? Is the county working on submitting an application to the governor's funding
proposal? Yeah, they have been working on to it. I attended a conference at Catskill here a couple months ago where we had all interested parties got together. There was a couple companies there that do provide broadband, and they were trying to see what they could do for the county. I know Warren Hart's working on trying to get us broadband. The residents of the village of Catskill, Leeds, and probably Carroll are saying, well, I have no problem with broadband because you have cable going past your house, and where, like you said, in Lexington and other outlying areas, they practically have little or nothing.
Yeah, so you can get decent broadband service in the village and town of Catskill and Leeds.
Yes.
And that's about it in Greene County.
Well, a little bit in the more outlying districts, but like you said, when you get up into Lexington, Halcutt, and up on the mountaintop, it's very sparse.
Right. So I think that one of the things that I've read from the proposals in the past where grant money was provided for rural broadband access infrastructure development, so you had to have a partnership with the local municipality, the telephone or the companies that are going to provide the service, and residents, and identifying where the highest needs were, because even though the governor has identified $500 million as, a new pot of money, it hasn't, it's not enough to do the whole state. So are you guys working on a plan of where you would start the build out or how it would be done?
Right now, that's all going, like I said, going through Warren Hart and his office, tourism committees. So we'll have to see what comes out of that. I know we are in the process of putting in for grant money to be able to provide that service. So
great. Well, we're planning to do a show in a couple weeks just on broadband internet service, and I'm going to have Bonnie Blader from Lexington and a representative from the Margaretville Telephone Company in the studio to talk about how, residents and municipalities and businesses are getting together to apply. But we don't know about the RFP yet. It hasn't been announced. So I know it's very difficult to be working on a proposal when it hasn't been announced what the parameters are. So I think people are anxiously waiting to see this investment from the governor. So before I forget, we have plenty of time to keep talking about the campaign. Is, do you have a website or a Facebook page? Aiden, I'll start with you. How do people get in touch with you if they have questions or if they want to help you on your campaign? What's the best way for people to reach you?
Absolutely, and I think that's an important question only because sometimes it's so hard when there's 2,700 residents and then eventually 50,000 to keep up with everybody. Facebook, it seems to be the social networking number one priority. And I would say that's my Facebook is Aiden, A-I-D-A-N, O'Connor, O'Connor, Jr. So if you go to Facebook, just slash that and put that in.
Okay. Can you say that again more slowly?
Absolutely. And I'll actually read my name and then I'll also do my email account too. It's Aiden, A-I-D-A-N, O'Connor, O'Connor, J-R for junior. And my email account is just the same. It's Aiden, A-I-D-A-N, O'Connor, O'Connor, J-R @gmail.com. Those are probably the two best points of contact. And or if you want to invite me over to your house, I take hot tea with milk and sugar. I'm always up for that, too.
That's awesome. Joe, what's the best way for residents to reach you?
Well, right now I'm on hashtag Team Catskill. There's six of us on that site right now. There's four of us running for the legislature in Catskill, and two people are running for either town council or town supervisor. Best way to get into contact with me, being my webpage is in progress right now, would be to my Gmail account would be jdski250@gmail.com.
And can you repeat that one more time?
Yes, it's jdski250@gmail.com.
And you mentioned add hashtag Catskill?
Hashtag Team Catskill.
And is that a Facebook page?
Yes.
So they could go to Facebook page and put in
hashtag Team Catskill, and it should come up.
Okay.
Right now, there's my profile was just up there the other night. We had one previously. We're going to be putting another one up here in a day or two until we get all six of us up there. So.
Great. So I always admire people who run for office, who serve publicly, and I'm really thankful to folks like you, Joe, for serving for as long as you have in the legislature and wanting to continue to serve, and to you, Aiden, for stepping up, because it's not easy. It's not easy to campaign. It costs time. It costs money. It's hard to get your message out and, you know, knocking on doors at 80-degree, 90-degree weather in the summertime is, you know, maybe you'd rather be swimming, but it's really important that our society functions when people step up and take leadership roles. And so,
or can I add,
absolutely,
if you get in the middle of October, towards the end of October, it could be 20 or 30 degrees and you're going out there,
yes,
with gloves and trying to write down information. It's kind of tough.
So. Yes, absolutely. So thank you both for doing what you're doing. So what drives you to, you know, run for office? Let's start with you, Joe. Why do you want to keep being a legislator?
Well, I guess I was brought up in public service. My dad was always in public service years ago. He also was a county legislator for, I think, 12, 13, or 14 years, somewhere around
there.
Wow,
so it's in your blood.
Yeah, more or less. I always saw what kind of heartaches he used to go through and everything, and I swore I would never run. But about 9-10 years ago, I saw a need for in the village of Catskill for people to run and try to bring the village forward. I ran and I was successful. I was there for 9 years, and so I thought the next progression up would be to maybe run for the county, and because I knew we needed a new jail and I knew there are other things that needed improvements. So I stepped up and decided to run, and luckily I got elected. And I've been representing the, you know, my area, town of Catskill and the village of Catskill, for the last 2.5 years. And I hope November 3rd people will come out and vote for me again. I think I've done a good job. I go to as many meetings as I can. I'm retired. So like I said in my Facebook page, the only people I have to answer to is my wife, my kids, my grandchildren, and my constituents. So, like I said, I'm at every meeting, and some of my colleagues said, well, I'll see you there. And we all say, well, I'll see you there. So.
Yep. Well, we all appreciate your commitment and passion. And it's really exciting to see Catskill come alive. I mean, from the trees to the shops opening and to the Etsy building, there's a lot that's, I think, exciting about Catskill's future. And it's great to see people involved in pushing Catskill forward.
Yeah, there's a good group of people. Again, you know, you just got to start and plant the seed and hope people will follow. And we've got quite a few people that are willing to help move the village along, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
We just had a group called America in Bloom there about a week or so ago. They've been here, I think, last year. I don't know, last year was the first year or if it's the second year. But anyway, they came this year here. They'll give us a score and a rating of how our village is and done. Last year, I know they were here. They gave us a score, and they told us what we can improve on. So, you know, we make little improvements here and there, and after a while, we'll have a beautiful village again.
What is this group that's doing this? America in Bloom?
It's called America in Bloom.
And what do they go to villages like
yeah,
Catskill?
Yeah, they all over the United States. You pay like an entrance fee, I'll say. And then they come and they look at your community and give you suggestions on how you can improve and what you have improved from the previous year. And they give you a score. I'm not sure, but I think we got a 3 out of 5 last year. So we're looking to improve on that.
Do they post the rankings somewhere?
We have on the website for the village, and I know it's been posted out there previously on other websites.
And when is the cat auction? Is there?
That's on, I think it's September 19th or 20th, somewhere around there.
And the cats on the streets of Catskill help support local
organizations,
yeah. Yes.
Mostly nonprofits, and you know, so it is a worthwhile project. It was started, I think, 5 or 6 years ago.
Yes, last year I purchased a cat. They had a cat that was knitting and playing with yarn, and I had to have it. So I went to the auction, and you can go.
That's right up your alley.
Yeah, so you can go to the auction. You can if you're enamored of one of the cats on the main street of Catskill, you can go to the auction and take it home, which I did. And my husband still doesn't know what I'm going to do with it.
Well, there's some people that have purchased them in the past, and they got them sitting out in front of their house or on their porch or, you know, or in their businesses. And
yep.
So, like I said, it's a worthwhile project. Some goes to HOCA, where they can complete some of their programs, and other goes to like Matthew 25, I know they've given money to Matthew 25, you know, which is a food pantry and other organizations. So,
yeah, it's a fun activity, and it's always fun to see the cats come out and see the involvement of the artists in that project. And I think the artists are a huge component of the whole Catskill and Greene County community. So, Aiden, what's driving you to run and spend your precious free time, because you work full time.
I do.
To represent, you know, constituents on the political level of the county.
I'll definitely start by saying that I give both of you much more credit. Seeing both of you in public office, I now realize just how much time and energy it takes, and putting yourself out there on the platform, both good and bad judgment. It's been quite the experience, but more good experience than bad experience. I have what I'd consider is an enormous amount of passion and enthusiasm to make change. And in medicine, I absolutely love my job. I love helping others. When I was elected to different not-for-profits, I found that I also enjoy that. I'm not actually the one applying the new medication and one applying the new equipment, but I'm still able to watch and see how that equipment that maybe I budgeted for or purchased is now benefiting the community. So truly, this is kind of a trial run. If elected on November 3rd, which I hope I am, I will see if I am A, good for the position, and B, if the position is good for me. A lot of people say, you know, what are you doing? You're doing well with not-for-profit. You're doing well in healthcare. Why would you want to do this? And I really think that this is an avenue to do as much positive change in so many different avenues, whether it's broadband, whether it's farming, whether it's veterans, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of what is driving me to this spot. And from somebody of, you know, I'm 27 years old, I really want to see people my age come back. I want to see when my parents get older for them to have adequate health care so they don't have to move closer to a more suburb or city area. So all these things combined, I am looking forward to the opportunity, and I have never been so excited for the opportunity. So.
That's great. I have a question for you about in the medical field. One of the issues that came up to me as a senator often was heroin abuse. And you're in the medical field. Do you see, it? Obviously, it's a problem out there. Do you see it getting better? Do you see it getting worse? Do you see the naloxone? Is that what you call it?
Yep. Narcan would be a simple way. Yeah,
drug that helps people who are, what do you call it? Need to emergency recovery.
Yeah, so I sit on a regional board that covers 6 counties, Greene County being one of those, and there was actually funding given out for Narcan, and there's been a big push for the sheriff's departments to carry, or local police departments like the Village of Catskill and or the Greene County Sheriff's, to carry this Narcan.
What does Narcan do?
Narcan reverses the effects of the drug. So a lot of times if they go out and they take these drugs, respiratory depression. So you have, you know, your ventilation rate goes from 18 to maybe 3 or 4, which is inadequate. You become blue, cyanotic. And what it does is it instantly reverts it. It's one of the few things that you could actually show up and make a huge change very quickly. So it's a great drug for that. And I am all about police officers carrying it. Family members are now prescribed it sometimes when they are family members with an addict.
Does everyone in Greene County have access to it? Who should have access to it? Like the police, like the paramedics?
Oh, yeah, the paramedics definitely, and it's actually at the EMT level. So every ambulance could be equipped. Whether or not they are or not is up to them. But most of the residents within a certain amount of time frame would have it. I know Columbia County Sheriff's Department has just was in the front page of the paper. Their sheriff themselves was driving past the call, was able to go in, reverse the effects. Hmm. Greene County, I know, is looking towards that. I'm not sure.
They have it now.
They have it. Excellent.
And they have administered it once, and they feel that they saved the person's life by administering.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I would say it's up on the upswing. So I'm a huge
advocate.
What is
on the upswing?
In regards to the usage of Narcan overdoses.
So you're seeing more people using
more
and abusing heroin.
Yeah. From my small point of view, yeah, I would say that there's more. So I advocate the use of Narcan and family, everyone to have it. The two things that I look at is that's reactionary, and I'm always trying to think proactive. So proactive is having a community that enables people to have something, whether it's a YMCA, teams, functions, things like that, because that'll, A, keep them out of it. But then also I'd like to see more work with post-addiction, because once we give Narcan, there's nothing to say that they have to go, you know, unless they're altered to a hospital. Or once they're at the hospital, they could walk right out. And it's a shame, because I've taken care of people who I've literally given Narcan to, reverted them from death to now being alive, them walking out of a hospital and 2 days later suffering from it again.
Wow.
So unfortunately, I think that it's a great step where we are. I'm glad there's grant funding for it. I'm glad there's people trained for it. But I think that we really have to focus on making a community that doesn't promote it, and also a community that takes care of them afterwards. So
it's a short-term
fix.
Absolutely. It's not.
Yeah, but the biggest fear with that is people would say, you brought me back once. You could do it again, and, you know, they keep taking the drugs, so.
Absolutely. It's devastating, not just in Greene County, but definitely regionally, and it's very, very sad. Very, very sad.
Absolutely. And there's definitely, you know, more that needs to be done long-term to both allow people who are trying to get off of that drug access to programs that are long enough in time so that they're successful, and their health insurance covers it, and that there's adequate treatment facilities out there and programs out there for people. And I think a lot of what I heard was people couldn't get the services they needed in that area.
Which is sad, because I think that if we contribute to the cycle to keep going, we need some way to break it. And it might seem like it's a lot of money up front, but long term, from the hospital visits, the ambulance transports, any of those capacities, it's actually a huge cost saving. We just have to invest the money up front and watch the cost savings, hopefully from years from now, watch trending values and see it go down.
Is the county legislature meetings on television?
Not at this time, no.
No, I know when I was on the school board, we were televised, so everybody watched us. You would be surprised how many people would tune in to watch.
Well, we're trying to move things forward. In the last month or so, I've made a comment that we get a lot of papers every week with our
with your
committees
agenda.
Onto it and everything else, suggestions and resolutions. I made the comment, I killed another tree today, or this month here I got a ream of paper. Maybe now we should move into the electronic age, where, like the state has done.
Right. Yeah,
partially. They haven't gone fully yet, but, you know.
Well, they had to pass a constitution amendment to allow the Senate and the Assembly to get their bills not in paper form.
Yes.
You had to have it printed and sitting on your desk for 3 days. And here comes the train, because it's community radio. The train tends to...
It's beautiful, though. If you saw the park setting and the train going through, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. But that's certainly, you know, I think the Senate and Assembly and the governor, because he signed the legislation to allow it, you know, showed that we can do away with unnecessary, you know, loss of paper because of technology changing, you know, and making it more efficient. And you certainly, you know, I would think it would be beneficial on other levels of government too, because you do save an inordinate amount of paper. Because once you go through a meeting, what do you do with all this paper? Whereas if you're using it, there's a cloud-based system, you know, you've always got it, you can always refer to it and actually find it, I think, a lot more easily when you're searching it through,
absolutely,
through the computer.
Well, I mean, even when I was with the village board, I kept every paper while I was there, and I ended up with 4 good-sized boxes full of all the papers that were given to me for the 9 years that I was there.
Wow.
So finally the wife says to me, some of that has to go, and now I'm collecting more boxes
it's
again.
You are the paper. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about while we're on the radio, about anything you'd like to bring up? I've certainly peppered you guys with questions. Is there any last words you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would definitely put out doing some research about voter turnout. One of the things that I would say to anyone listening is to promote voting. I've knocked on many doors talking to a lot of people in the community who said, you know, my vote doesn't count. Nothing's going to change. If you don't have a, you know, party affiliation, if you don't have a name, whatever the case might be. And I want to assure you that every vote does count. What's not fair and what doesn't count is the fact that people make you feel that way. So if win or lose November 3rd, which I hope I'm winning, that's I would put out there that to go out and vote. And if we could get the biggest turnout of voting in Greene County, at least all of us win, because then there's contribution and it shows that whoever is elected to be representative is going to be held accountable, because now more than ever, people are watching and people are wanting. And one other little add-on is, if you aren't into voting and you're not into politics, I could see why some people don't want to be, now that I'm seeing it from the side. Local organizations. I've had the pleasure of going out and going to a lot of new organization meetings that I didn't even know existed before. And these are the true people going out every day. There's Oak Hill Preservation Society, the Task Force, Beautification, things like that. The firefighters, the volunteer EMS. Those are the people. So if you want to be part of the community, you don't want to be involved in politics, go to one of these organization meetings. These are people working day in, day out. They're doing projects that are amazing. And all those things, like you mentioned before, trees, benches, down to the smallest things that make the biggest difference. These are the people working on every day. So
right. They're everyday citizens saying, I want to make a difference. And they're getting involved, and they're doing it. And there's tons of organizations out there to get involved with. And the more, you know, we can't just sit back and complain. We can do something about it, and that is get involved and vote.
Absolutely.
Well, I agree with that totally. And as a matter of fact, in the last village election, one person won by one vote, one person lost by one vote.
Wow.
In the village of Athens, same thing happened there. One person won by one vote. So your vote does matter.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether it be a primary or a general election, you know, get out there and vote.
And
you have your right to choose your representative for your area.
Right. And in my race, too, I won by 18.
Wow.
Out of, you know, over 100,000 people who voted.
That's tremendous.
So, and you, I can't tell you how many people thought they were one of the 18.
Oh, that's.
So I know there may be organizations that want to invite you to their events or get you to come and speak or invite you to a picnic or, you know, a block party. So could you give us one more time your contact, the best way to reach you?
Absolutely. And please feel free to invite me to anything. Bipartisan. I understand that there's parties. I understand there's party affiliations. But I went to the Republican GOP at the fair. I went to their booth as much as they go. Some of us are going to win. Some of us are going to lose. But we're all going to work together at the end. So any organization, you can reach out to me by email. It's Aidan, A-I-D-A-N, O'Connor, O-C-O-N-N-O-R. jr@gmail.com.
And for you, Joe, the best way to reach you?
Again, my email address is jdski250@gmail.com. And again, like Aidan, I would be coming to any of your events or organizations.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in and spending some time with me on the Albany Report. I'm sure our listeners will appreciate the time you've spent. This interview will be archived, and you can, you know, post it on your Facebook page. And I also want to thank you both for stepping up and running, and especially Joe and Aidan, for both of you for serving and, you know, providing so much assistance to others in the work that you do every day. So thank you.
And thank you thank and you. The radio station. And thank you for your public service. That was awesome as you center.
My pleasure. So we're going to wrap it up at this time, and we're going to do some PSAs, or are we going to go out with a song? We can go out with my song, Here Comes the Sun.
I love that introduction.
Okay, let's do that. And we'll see you next time on the Albany Report. Thanks for listening.